So a person can say, and yeah, I'm a Christian, praise the Lord. Man, I know the Lord, walking with Him. I have a gnosko with Him. I'm an experience and so forth. But I don't do one thing the Lord tells me to do. Is there a problem? Well, what does God say? He said, you're a liar.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Welcome, everyone, and hope you're having a happy Friday. Get ready for a great message today from Pastor Bill's 1 John series. The pastor has titled this message, Who is He Who Overcomes? Now, Pastor.
God is so good, amen? You know, when you study out this incredible epistle, you have to remember John is old. I mean, he's old, okay? And I don't mean that in a negative way. But you know, 1 John is a mystical book. You almost are walking in the heavenlies as you read it, if you truly understand it. Amen? And so here you have the aged apostle, who is actually the last living apostle, if you will, when he pens 1 John. And he's one of the last ones that walked, or is alive, that walked with Jesus in the flesh on his earthly ministry. And so now something happens when we move. John is moving to a close. And because of the language, our English loses the true force of it, okay, in these five verses we're going to cover. So I want us to really open our hearts this morning to this word, because we're going to talk about who is he who overcomes the world. Remember that 1 John was written because, remember, one of the reasons it was written, or the theme, would be found in chapter 5, verse 20. It reads like this. It says, and we know that the Son of God is come, given us an understanding that we may know Him, that we may experience Him, not just have facts about Jesus, but that we may know Him who is true, and what else? And we are in Him who is true. See, the Lord's calling right now. Praise the Lord. And we are in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true or real God and eternal life. Now listen, we cannot experience real life, real fellowship, real love until you have the real Savior living in your heart. Amen? Now, I want you to remember why 1 John was written. And if we don't know this part, then we lose really the understanding the text. And remember, the false teachers had come in. And they're the Gnostics. Now, we don't know their names or whatnot, but the Gnostics, or Gnosticism, what they did, these false teachers, they denied the incarnation. They denied that Jesus was fully God and fully man. Amen? And so, if you look there in your Bibles at chapter 2, verse 22, he writes, and John says, well, who is a liar, or who is the liar? And then he tells us that he who denies or rejects that Jesus is the Christ, he's the Messiah, he's fully God, fully man, he's perfect man and perfect God, he is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. So that's what the false teachers were teaching. And then if you look at chapter 2, verse 26, he says this, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, and they, of course, trying to deceive them about Jesus, his deity, and so forth. Now, and then you can read 1 John 4, verses 1 through 3 later, because he tells us that, you know, those who believe that Jesus has not come in the flesh is not of God, but those who do believe that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. Now, with all of that being said, as our hearts are open, beginning in verse 1, it says, whoever believes, that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God, and everyone who loves Him, meaning who loves the Father, who begot, also loves Him who is begotten of Him. Now listen carefully. John is now bringing something home. He's finishing this last text. He's writing, however it is, by the Holy Spirit as He's moving upon him. And he's telling us the true signs of those who are truly born from above. And he starts out with whoever. And that's a very important word, because whoever means that God, or this is a universal invitation from Almighty God to every generation, amen, to whoever they may be, and that no, he wants to know no one is excluded. But the first proof that a person is born again is what they truly, and I mean truly, believe. So here, it's strong, man. It's not head knowledge. It's talking about the person who really believes when you're first saved. And remember what Paul writes to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. He says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or literally Jesus as your Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So when he writes, whoever believes, again, listen very carefully, it's not what you have up here, amen? What you have up here, what you hear, that's not going to save you. It's what goes into your heart, what your heart believes. That's how it happens. And the word believes there in the Greek is present tense, meaning that when you are truly born from above, you continue to believe in Jesus, amen? And if you don't continue to believe in Jesus, it means that you never were born again, that what you confessed, what you believed, only stayed and right here. It never got here. Does that make sense? And that's very, very important. Now listen carefully. This word believe, when he says whoever believes, is so strong in the Greek. And again, it's not believing with your mind. See, and that's a problem. It's not intellectual assent, which acknowledges that something is true, but you don't really act upon it. You don't really experience it. It's a great fact, and it stays right there. It rests right there, but it never gets down here. That's that intellectualism. Now, but when it says whoever believes, it's talking about a heart, the person's heart, loved one, that by faith, that they fully accept, by faith, rely on, trust in, cling to, put all of their weight on the fact that Jesus Christ truly is the Anointed One. He truly is the Messiah. He truly is the Son of God, and he is the substitutionary sacrifice for my sin and your sin. Amen? Acts 4:12, there's not another name. Not only that, there's not another way. John 14:6, Jesus is the only way. Amen? So it's that when we believe it like that in our hearts, boy, that's an experience. You know, if you become changed, you know something happened. Amen? If you change a flat tire and you put another tire on, do you know if there's a change? Okay, well, the old man was a flat tire. Amen? No, he didn't get through life at all. But listen to me. That person is born again. They're now a child of God. And how did that happen? Well, you know, remember in the Gospel of John, John writes in John 1:12, he says, as many as received him, meaning Jesus, to them he gave the right or the authority to become something. To become, the moment you confess Christ, he gave you the authority to become something you had never, ever, ever been before. In Scripture, it says, you are now the child of God. To those who believe on his name, and he keeps writing, and he says, who were born, not of blood, in other words, born again, not of blood, not of racial privilege or anything like that, nor of the will of the flesh, nobody can be born again in their own power, nor of the will of man. It wasn't not the natural father and all that. It says, but we're born of God. Listen, God really is our Father. We really are born from above. We really have been, past tense, adopted. Amen? He's not going to kick us out of the family. We really have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We really are new creations in Christ. Amen? Old things have passed away. All things become new. The old man has not been remodeled. Okay? You can't remodel him. He's in. You know, you have to become a brand new creation. That means we're partakers of the divine nature now of God. So we are the children of God, and he loves us. Now look at what children of God do in the second part of verse 1. And everyone who loves him, loves the Father, who begot you, it says, also loves him who is begotten of him. In other words, you love all the others that are born again, the children of God. So loving God, loving each other, loved one, you can't divorce that. They're inseparable, okay? So a true child of God, he does not isolate himself from the family of God. Think about it now. All of us are members of God. We're the family of God. But we are a family. All of us have been filled with God's love. Amen? Think about that. That's why we love God. That's why we love each other. God's love literally is living in us right now, in all of his family. Romans 5:5, remember, this hope doesn't disappoint, for the love of God has been shed abroad into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that's been given unto us. And what do we do with this kind of love that lives in us right now, this supernatural love of God? Look at chapter 4, verse 7. It says, beloved, let us love one another. And then he says something. For love is of God. God's the source of love because he is love. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. In other words, you've experienced the new birth. He who does not love does not know God. Never knew God. Never experienced the new birth. For God is love. Now look at verse 2. He says, by this we know. It literally should read, not from this, but in this, okay? In this, when we exercise that kind of love and so forth, in this we know. And there's that word we've studied over and over in 1 John in the Greek, gnosko. We know experientially. We experience it. We know that we love the children of God by what? Watch. Well, when we love God and keep or observe his commandments. So the child of God loves God and loves one another and keeps his commandments, or wants to keep his commandments, but we can't keep it in our own power, can we? No, we have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have all that love in us. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, I want you to look at chapter 2, verse 3 for a moment. Let's look at this where it says, this we know. Chapter 2, verse 3, now by this, or literally again, in this we know. There's that word again, gnosko. We know experientially that we know Jesus. Now, that's not facts, that we know Jesus intimately. We have an experience by when we follow him. It's a daily fellowship. It says we know that we know him, but look when it happens, when we keep his commandments. Now, this right here is not salvation by obedience. It's, you know, we're saved by grace. Amen. But this is an evidence that you are born from above because we keep his commandments. So if we know Jesus, if we're truly born again, won't there be evidence of a transformed life in our walk? Amen. And there is. There'll also be a personal intimacy. And yes, we grow in that from glory to glory to glory. Look at verse 4 of chapter 2 now. He who says, well, I know him. That word again, there's gnosko. My walk, I experience him daily. I'm living an intimate lifestyle with the Lord. I know him, but does not keep his commandments, okay? That means an habitual practice. We all fall short sometimes. Do not keep his commandments. Oh, look what God says, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So what does John do now? He links something. He links with what we say with also with what we do. So a person can say in the church or whatever you meet, yeah, I'm a Christian. Praise the Lord. Man, I know the Lord. I'm walking with him. I have a gnosko with him. I'm an experience and so forth. I just know, you know, and so forth. But I don't do one thing the Lord tells me to do. Is there a problem? Well, what does God say? He said, you're a liar. That's pretty bold. I mean, that's the word of God. Amen. He says, you're a liar, man. And what does he do? Now, listen very carefully. This is important. He said, you're a liar. He says, you don't know the truth. The truth is not in you. The truth, my truth, God's truth, he says, is absent from your heart. Very important. All they have is the talk. What does that mean? It means that God's truth never made it here. It is only resting right here. Does that make sense? Okay, God's truth is it's perfect truth, but it's not doing anything. It's not being acted upon. It's intellectualism only. Oh, yeah, boy, Jesus, I know. Yeah, he's real, but I don't know anything about him except, you know, whatever. No. Loved one, listen, there is a huge difference between knowing God's commandments and keeping them. Amen? What did Jesus tell us? He said in John 14:15, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now look at verse 3. For this is the love of God, or this is love for God, actually, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not what? They're not burdensome. Now listen, how in the world do we prove our love for God? Our love for God is proven only one way. The only evidence is obedience. There's no other proof, loved one. You know, we don't want to be like James 1:22, you know, just hearers of the word and not doers. Amen? Okay? You know, Jesus, what did he tell us in, what was it, Luke 6:46? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do anything I ask you to do? So here, our love for God is proven by our obedience. And God, our Father, says something. He says, my commands are not heavy. They're not oppressive. They're not stern. They're not cruel. They're not burdensome. However, if we refuse to walk in love, if we refuse to forgive, do they become a burden? Boy, you better believe it. Do they weigh upon us? Absolutely. So James Montgomery Boyce put it this way, the commands of God become burdensome only when we desire to do something else. That's a true word. God's commandments are for a supernatural people that were purchased with the blood of his son. Amen? And they're for you and me. When you think about the commandments of God, you know, and how we read them, but they just maybe stay here. They don't ignite down here where they should. I mean, for example, you know, one of the commands that we overlook constantly, which is a tremendous command, and probably we break it all the time, unfortunately, is Ephesians 5:18, where it says, be ye being filled with the Spirit. That's every day, which means you can be refreshed in the Holy Spirit every day. Amen? Now, and so think about that for a minute. Listen, God's commandments, you know, did God save you so he could say, now that you're saved, now that you're a new man, now, all right, I'm going to burden you down. I'm going to just crush you, you know? No, is that what the new birth does? Does a new birth put a spring in your step? Yeah, the matter of fact, it empowers us to the new man to what? Walk in the newness of life. Why? Because we've been set free. We're not chained. We have the Holy Spirit living in us right now. Now, I want to ask you a question. Is your Christian life, is it weighing you down? If it is weighing you down, then you're not living the Christian life. I didn't say that when you obey God that you don't get out and be like Paul the Apostle and you're shipwrecked and all of that. That can happen. Amen? Okay, but did it weigh Paul down? What did Paul say? You may knock me down, but you'll never knock me out. You know why? Because Paul overcome the world. Amen? Okay, now so we think about all of that. So you see, if the Christian life is weighing you down, then maybe you're not living the real Christian life. And you say, well, but how do you know that? I said, well, what God just said. God said in his word, we just read it, his commandments are not burdensome. Let me give an example. Moms, dads, listen, would you ever command your children, you know, command them to do something, and you say, you obey this command, knowing that what they're about to do, your command, they could never, ever, they never do it. Do you think that would frustrate them? Do you think that would make them feel like a constant failure? Okay. Well, do you think God the Father would do that to us? I mean, do you think God, who he is love, would ever give us a command and sit back in heaven laughing and say, boy, I gave them this one, and they'll never be able to pull this one off? That would be cruel, amen? And our God is not cruel. No, listen to me. Obedience to God's command, the moment that we, when you, like, love never fails, or when we love one another, we're commanded to love one another. Now, you may be right in the midst of an argument with somebody that your brother or sister, or you're hurting, they've hurt you or whatever. Now, you have a choice. You're either going to not walk in love or you're going to walk in love, which is a command, amen? And you go, well, I don't feel like it. Well, so what? So what? See, you have no power to do what's right until you step out and obey that command, and then the power comes. Do you understand? If when you walk in love, if there's one thing I've learned as a Christian, it is you walk in love. Love never fails. I didn't say love never hurts. I didn't say love always wins. I didn't say that, but I said love never fails. Why? Because I am obeying God. And the moment, I don't care how hurt I have been, and I keep and I step right in and I love that individual, man, the power of God is all over me. Why? You have stepped into and been obedient. See, God's commandments are not a burden. God's commandments are our enablements. Amen? But you have to obey those things. Someone said one time that loving God makes obedience easy. Remember what Jesus told us in Matthew 11, 28 through 30? He was talking about, are you heavy laden? You know, you're worn out and all that kind of stuff. And he says, hey, learn of me. Be my student. Take my yoke. And what is his yoke? It's his heart. Take my yoke. He says, for I am lowly and gentle. You'll find rest to your souls. And he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is. Well, listen, are we yoked up with the Lord? Yes. Are we walking with him and traveling with him through this life? Okay, well then there's no burden. He's the one that carried the burden for us. Amen. And that's so important that we understand and see that. Listen, I need Jesus. Jesus is eternal life. Amen? But I also need the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit is our internal life, so we can walk in the fullness of life on this planet. Amen? Now, he who has ears to hear, I'm going to say some things, and I want you to just listen for a moment. When you think about, you know, is the church, are we the believer, okay? Are we falling short of living life in this fallen world? Are we living short of it? In other words, because we're not doing what God says to do. And we think about, listen, let me ask you a question. Doesn't Scripture, every Christian says this, Romans 10:17, that we are to reign, that word means to reign like kings, by the way, we are to reign in this life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Is that what it says? Well, where is that alive at with you? Is it just alive right here, or is it alive right here? In other words, that's what he said. See, it's no different. When you are born again, something happens. You know that you received Jesus. You know why? You didn't believe him here. You believed him here. Well, see, here we are. We're to reign in life by one Christ Jesus, our Lord. Well, if we're not, why not? Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come, you might have life, have it more abundantly. And if that means abundant life here and there. And if we're not, you ever thought about why? I need to ask myself why I'm not. You see, those are important questions. See, we know the Word of God. I mean, just go through Ephesians. My gosh, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. The Christian, we thanks be to God because God the Father has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen? You are blessed. I mean, you are so blessed, there's not any blessings left because God has pronounced you, the believer, you're already blessed. Ephesians 1:4, he chose you before the foundation of the earth, before the first sunrise, first sunset, before the earth was ever formed. Think about those things. Verse 7 of chapter 1 of Ephesians, we have redemption through him in his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Amen? Go over to verse 13, and it tells us that we're sealed. The Holy Spirit, the moment we trusted him, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit, which is our down payment until the very day of redemption. Or that we're co-heirs with Christ. Or Colossians 2:9-10, we are complete in him who's the head of all principality and power. We go, praise God. But where is it located in you? Where is it living in you? And that's what's so important, loved one. We love those scriptures. Well, if we love those scriptures, then why would we even begin to even think that God's commands are burdensome? Do you follow me?
Well, we hate to interrupt Pastor's study, but we're out of time. But no worries, Pastor Bill will complete this message on our Monday broadcast. So please tune in again, won't you? My name is Brian Whitaker. We want to thank you for spending some of your day with us. We hope you have an awesome weekend, and so long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.